Very good. Welcome everybody to this afternoon's ongoing meditation class. As I have to say every week, if there's some people coming for the introduction to meditation class, the series of four lessons, for those who haven't meditated before, that class is being held in the room to my right. This is the ongoing class where we meditate for about 45 minutes. So if you've never meditated before, you're going to get tortured in here sitting still. You know, in Guantanamo Bay, they're called sustained stress positions, and we don't want to get sued or get a complaint from the Human Rights Commission. So if you're coming for the first time, please, the room to my right. It's nice and comfortable there. The teacher's brilliant. So this is the ongoing class. And for today, many people have learned many types of meditation, and mindfulness especially is really common these days, sweeping the body, whatever it is. But when we are mindful and aware of something, what are we mindful of? Because many people say, oh, you should put your awareness on the feelings in the body, or put your awareness on the breath, or you know, put your awareness on whatever, you know, on your thoughts. But what is really important in meditation is putting your awareness on not what you're meditating on, but how you are meditating. Are you meditating wanting to get something, wanting to attain something? Because if you are, you'll find you're going to get very disappointed and frustrated. The very wanting to get somewhere is what will stress your mind and not give it any peace. And if you're trying to get rid of things, no, it will make the mind again tense and negative. So it really doesn't matter what you're aware of, but my goodness, it does matter how you are aware. So in the meditation which I teach you, I usually give you some guidance in the first few minutes, you know, just to be aware of your physical body first of all. But you'll also hear me saying, don't just be mindful of those feelings, learn how to relax them. And I ask you to learn how to relax them, because the way you learn to relax the body is learning literally to let it go. You cannot force the body to relax. You can't just get it and grab it by the throat and say, relax or else. That's like you have a kid, you know, who can't go to sleep well at night. And so, you know, you go into the kid's bedroom and you grab the kid by the neck. You go to sleep, kid, or else. Now, is that going to get your kid to go to sleep? Of course it doesn't. It gets even more afraid, restless, upset, and go further away from sleepiness. The same, you can't force your body to relax. You can't tell it, relax or else. And the only way to get the body to relax is just to let it relax. And with the beginning part of the meditation, you're mindful, aware of the body, and you make mistakes every now and again. You know, you sort of tense up, you're afraid, whatever, and the body feels tenser, feels tighter, more pain, more aches. You know, you can recognize it's not relaxed. But then every now and again, you know, you learn how to just, oh, let it go, let it be, or be kind. And then you feel it relaxing. And so this little exercise of being aware of your body and learning how to relax it teaches you, you know, the importance of not what you're watching, but how you are watching it. You may be watching an ache in the body, and if you're really afraid of it, oh my goodness, you know, I've got, or like a very common problem, people's legs go numb. This happened to me many, many, many years ago when I was still a lay meditator. My legs went numb. Instead of just watching it, I decided, oh my goodness, if my legs go numb, that means there's no blood going into my legs. If there's no blood going into my legs, that means that they'll get gangrene. If they get gangrene, before I can get out of meditation, they have to cut my leg off. It'll be all black and won't be able to use it. I'll be lame for the rest of my life. I was watching that feeling with fear. And that was why I was getting worse and worse. You notice there was one occasion, if anyone's legs do ever feel numb, I was meditating, and it was happening a lot when I started meditating, and one day I just get fed up. Okay, you can be numb. If you want to get your cut off, that's fine. I'm just going to sit here. And I just, you know, literally meditated, just letting it go. And it was one of those first times you realize just how clever my body is when I don't interfere. Because, you know, the legs were numb. And then, without any warning, without me moving, noticed that the blood came, they came alive again, all by themselves. They just did it, I didn't do anything. And I realized my body looks after itself. So when you don't look at things with fear, with letting go, just allowing the body to do the body stuff, you find everything relaxes, everything gets, you know, even better than normal. It gets relaxed and peaceful. So what you're learning in the first part of meditation, number one, what we mean to actually let things be, to be kind, to accept, to embrace, and just be with things, because you realize that is what relaxes the body. But at the same time, you're not so much watching the body as watching how you're watching. In other words, just whether you're doing it with fear, with control, because you try and control the body, you get afraid with it, you get negative towards it, it gets much worse. You relax, let it be, and the body gets really nice. And you also notice that the last year I've developed this request to ask you that when your body does get relaxed, please be aware of the pleasure of relaxation. Develop that perception of pleasure, of having a body which is nicely relaxed. You know, you've been walking for a long time, and then you know, you can sit down and you can relax. That feels really good. Oh, in those, I'm going to say good old days, but it has to be bad old days. You know, when you go to school in the snow in UK, and your feet would be frozen when you got back. Not really frozen, but they felt really cold. And then your mum will get sort of a basin of warm water, and you'd soak your feet in warm water. Have you ever done that? Have you been walking, your feet are really cold? Doesn't that really feel great? There's a pleasure in the body relaxing and feeling comfortable. You perceive that, you look out for that when you're relaxing. And not only does that keep the body relaxed, but it surprised me at first, it actually takes the body into deeper relaxation, automatically. You know, whatever the mind notices, hey, this is fun, it will go and play there some more and take it even deeper. And the body gets even more relaxed once you recognize the delight in a relaxed body. And that's a wonderful way to learn how to relax your own body. That has huge benefits. If you can't sleep at night, relax your body. Don't get afraid, don't get tense. You know, if you're really sick, relax the body. You know, you're going to get some operation, some medical procedure, and relax the body. And then, you know, the tension, the tightness goes away and it's much easier. But most importantly is we're already focusing not just on our body but how we're watching it, so we know how to relax the body. It's that process of relaxing, or rather of what relaxes the body, we start to get to know. That's exactly what we focus on when we are meditating on our mental world. It's not so much getting rid of the past, avoiding the future, it's how we're doing that. How can you relax your mind? What is the thing which you are so-called doing? What is the attitude of mind? How are you looking at the mind? If you're looking at the mind wanting something, you know, wanting to get some attainment, then you're actually screwing up the mind. It gets tightness and tense. In the same way, when you go to work, you have to get something done. You've got a letter to write. You have to, you know, to get make an appointment on time. You know, you have to remember to call up somebody. There's stuff to be done. That makes your body tired. It's tension. You're trying to get something or get something done, get rid of things. But you know, there's a time at work. Maybe there's not a time at your work. Maybe a time at home. Time sometimes you can just sit there and actually do nothing. And relax. No appointments. No place to get to. Nothing to get rid of. And you find your mental world starts to relax. You start to feel free. And this is what we learn how to do in our meditation. It's not so much what we're watching, but how we're watching it. You're watching this mental world. And to see if you can watch it the same way that you relax the body. Just letting it be. It's a strange thing that when people say get bothered with too much thinking, they try and stop the thinking. You know, there's a very old joke, but it's so apt. You know, the four monks with a vow of silence. One of them sneezed. The first monk said, bless you. The second monk said, ha ha, you've broken your vow of silence. Third one said, yes, so have you. Fourth one said, I'm glad I'm the only one here who can keep quiet. See, when whenever you make a comment, you've broken your vow of silence. And that's what happens. We're trying to make the mind peaceful. Come on, be peaceful. You've already disturbed the peace when you have any thoughts or any intention like that. So just trying to make the mind peaceful just creates the opposite. So instead we learn how to watch this mind just with the sense of kindness, letting it be, being compassionate towards it. And by being kind, being compassionate towards it, that means the best simile, opening the door of your heart to your mind. Whatever it is, that's fine by me. Got a crazy mind? Fine. What's wrong with being crazy? You got a sort of a dull mind? What's wrong with being dull? Just be with your mind. It really does not matter if you're restless or if you're dull. What really matters is how you react to that restlessness, how you're reacting to the dullness. If you can be at peace with it, you are building peace. You're making more and more peace for your future. If you're making war with your mind, which is what most Buddhists actually do, they're crazy, making war with their mind. In other words, trying to change it, trying to conquer it, you will find that the mind will never get peaceful. If you want peace for the future, you have to make peace right now. That's why for many people when they ask me, what do you do when you meditate? Am I supposed to watch my breath? Am I supposed to watch? What am I supposed to do, Ajahn Brahm? Tell me. And the answer is, make peace. Make peace right now with whatever you're experiencing. Don't go to war. Have a ceasefire with your own silly mind. Make peace with your mind. Be kind. And be gentle. Actually, I'll change that gentleness now, because I've been saying that for such a long time, make peace, be kind, be gentle. But you all know that. Let's change it. Let's tweak it. Make peace, be kind, be patient. Wait in the moment. Because one of the problems with people is, Ajahn Brahm, it's not working. You haven't waited long enough. That's the simile, you know, how do I get the glass of water to be perfectly still? You put it down, and after a while it gets still all by itself. Being patient means stopping. It's not peaceful yet. Is it getting peaceful? Is it peaceful yet? No, it's not peaceful. Come on, be peaceful. Be patient. Give it time to be peaceful. Your poor old mind. You know, sometimes we don't give it time. We keep interrupting because it's not working as fast as we want it to. So what you do in meditation, just make peace in this moment. So I'm looking at my tired mind. I've been very busy just before I came in here. And lots of stuff going on, stupid stuff. And I look at that and just, okay, make peace with it. And if it comes up in my meditation, I'll keep making peace with it. I won't fight it. If it wants to come up, it can. I'm not fighting, I'm making peace. You know what happens? All that stuff, after a while, stops coming up because I'm making peace with my mind. I'm not agitating it. I'm not like one of those monks, yeah, you've broken your vow of silence too. And I'm being kind to my mind. Poor old mind, it's obvious, you know, I've been working hard, so of course you'll be a bit restless. You know, I may be tired, I may be old, so you're going to get a little bit dull more than other people. I'm kind to my mind. And I'm also patient. I wait in this moment. Don't care how long it takes. I know there's nothing faster that I can do than making peace, being kind, being gentle. So I don't really care what I'm observing, whether it's dullness, whether it's restlessness, whether it's the breath or whatever it is, as long as I continue to make peace, be kind and be patient. The essence of meditation. Da da da. Okay, so that's his instructions for your beginning. So we're now going to do some meditation once again, because this is the first week for the introduction to meditation. No, it's the second week, isn't it? Anyway, for those coming to the introduction to meditation class, that is being held in the room to my right. This is the class, the first four classes where people learn meditation. If you've come for the introductory to meditation class, please, that's in the room to my right. This is the ongoing class. Okay, you have been warned. So here we go. So now, if you'd like to get yourselves nice and comfortable, if you like to stretch or whatever you need to do, because now we're going to get our bodies into a nice position so we can meditate really nice and deeply. Very good. And as I mentioned to you, I'll be leading the first 5 or 10 minutes, giving instructions, and after that I'll be quiet and let you meditate by yourself. And of course, always it's taken that you turn off all mobile phones and stuff. And close your eyes. When your eyes are closed, it's almost automatic you become aware of your physical body. If it's not automatic, just turn the attention onto your body. With your eyes closed, you become more sensitive to physical feelings. But so much of the brain's power gets taken up by visual material. When you've got your eyes closed and there's nothing to see, you literally do have more space to feel. And as you feel your body, be kind to it. Can you adjust your body right now? Adjusting your legs, which is a common source of aches and pains. Adjusting your bottom. This is not school, it's okay to fidget. Feeling your back. Your back doesn't have to be perfectly straight. For some people that is the best posture. Other people like to lean back on the chair or against the wall. Whatever is comfortable for you is the best. can't move your body anymore to make it more comfortable, then still be aware of your body. And see what you can do to make your body more comfortable, even without moving it. Just looking at parts of the body, say I'm looking at my calves now, and just feeling tension in those muscles. I feel tension there. And then I move. I don't move, sorry. I play around with the way I look at that feeling. I'm aware of how I experience that tension. And the mindfulness gives me feedback. And I can feel my muscles relaxing. I have learned how to let go. I've learned how to look at that feeling in such a way that it doesn't get worse. It actually gets easier. I learn how to take the pressure off. Learn how to loosen any tightnesses by being aware and getting the feedback. That is how you learn. And what you're doing is watching how you watch. I literally start learning how to make peace, be kind and patient with the muscles in my calves. And I feel that they relax. And then the other part of my body. And my lower part of my body, there's a tightness there around my waist. There it came out. You can feel. You can make peace. Be kind, be gentle. And the body relaxes little by little. And as my body relaxes more and more, as any pressures, any tightnesses get all released, the body feels so loose. Nothing is being stretched, squashed, or pulled. It's like my body has no pressure on it at all. And that is a very pleasant feeling. So be aware of the delight of a body which is beginning to relax. Once you notice that delight, the body relaxes even more. when your body is very relaxed and you can feel that delight, that is the time to let the body go. If you let the body go too early, you'll have aches and pains later on, and your meditation will be disturbed. Spending time relaxing the body has those benefits. When you do let the body go, what are you aware of? And how are you aware? You may have heard the sound of the helicopter or the sound of my voice. To some it's disturbing. As Ajahn Chah used to say, it's not the sound disturbs you. You disturb the sound by the way you perceive it. We watch how we perceive things. So nothing can disturb us when we don't disturb it. And all the time, whatever you're aware of, make peace. Don't fight. Be kind. Don't get angry or ashamed. And be patient. Just wait in this moment. A tree takes a long time to grow. Meditation is much faster. And the feedback given by mindfulness will tell you your mind is relaxing and getting more and more and more peaceful until you can get the delight, the joy of a still mind. See if you can perceive the delight of a mind which is relaxed, which doesn't have to do anything, which is just here. being mindful of how you're being mindful. Always making peace, being kind and being patient. Getting close to the end of the meditation. Don't open your eyes yet. Just be mindful of the general quality of relaxation, peace and freedom in your body and mind. How calm are you? How still have you become? And what does that peace feel like? What works and what didn't work? This is how we learn. We don't really judge our meditation. We just grow, that's all. Grow in peace. Grow in the ability to relax both body and mind. So there's no tension anywhere. So I'm now going to ring the gong 3 times. Please listen as usual. The last ringing of the gong vanishes, come out from your meditation. Okay, so now after the meditation, this is the opportunity for questions. I'll try and keep them on meditation-related subjects. And I know it's always hard for people to ask a question in public, so we do have a little box in the back there where people can write their questions, and they'll be answered, you know, on the Saturday afternoon class. There's also some on the internet. Because these lessons are very popular, they are streamed internationally. So we got one from the UK and one from the same fellow who asked a question last night from Syria. So isn't it wonderful? You can actually create some peace in such a place. So what was said here was gone all the way to UK and also to Syria. First of all, can you explain your method of meditation on the 4 elements? Thank you. That's from James in the UK. You don't really do a meditation on the 4 elements. And maybe when I became a monk, because I trained in theoretical physics, the 4 elements never made much sense to me. So you have this whole smorgasbord of the meditation techniques, trainings available to you. And that was one which basically, because of my training, made absolutely no logical sense. It was the way that in the time of the Buddha, 2,500 years ago, they looked at the material world, stuff, things. So I don't really do a meditation on the 4 elements. You don't have to. The idea in meditation is you don't meditate on things. You meditate to get the mind so still that when it's perfectly still, like the forest lake, only then does it perfectly reflect the moon and the stars in the heavens above. If there's any ripples on the surface of that lake, any movement, then it distorts the reflection. So the purpose of meditation is to still the mind. As the Buddha said, Samadhi Paccaya Yatha Bhuta Jnana Dasana. This is from stillness, from samadhi. The mind sees things as they truly are. But when the mind has got movement in it, it's got thoughts, when it does things, you're disturbing the insight. So if you wanted to understand the nature of stuff, the best way of understanding the nature of stuff is to see stuff disappear, to see the four elements just vanish. And that's the point of stillness. When things become still, they disappear. When they disappear, that's when you can understand them. The simile, which I've given many times, and this is for James in the UK, is a simile of the tadpole and the frog. Many have heard that before. A tadpole can never understand the nature of water, no more than a fish can understand what water is. A tadpole is born in water, lived all its life in water. How can it understand water? It's just always there. But the difference between a fish and a tadpole is that one day the tadpole grows legs and arms, she becomes a frog. And one day a little tadpole, now a frog, jumps out of the lake. Doesn't know really what it's doing, but standing or sitting, squatting, I think is the right word, on dry land, she notices something is missing. Something which has always been there is no longer there. And that is water. Only now can the tadpole, now a frog, understand what water is. The same with stuff, four elements, body, atoms, concrete, flowers, trees, sky, space. The only way you can understand what that is not by reflecting on it, not by thinking about it, by getting the mind so still that your whole body and all that stuff which we call the world vanishes. So you go into the world of the mind, you can't feel the body anymore. That's deep meditation, that's the jhanas. Someone can touch you, you won't be able to feel it. You can ring the gong as loud as you like, you won't be able to hear it. You've gone so deep inside yourself, perfectly awake, perfectly alert, but in the sixth sense, the sense of the mind, which scientists deny exists. But crikey, we monks get into that all the time. Stuff which they deny exists, but actually is there. Just sometimes it's like, who was that fellow in Queensland said there's no gays in North Queensland? It was that Catter, wasn't it? Something, yeah, but crazy people. And they say, scientists say there's no mind. Yeah, sure. But anyway, that's what we do. And in there, just we get into the deep jhanas, and then there's no body. Only now can you understand what body is. Not by thinking about it, but by being still. So that is my meditation on the four elements, jhanas. So afterwards you can understand what the four elements were. And anyway, now from the Syrian question. After 3 months of meditation, I feel that I'm not going anywhere and feel that meditation is like a daily routine activity. How do I get that nice feeling that I got before? Okay, that's a very common question, a nice question too, because it relates to everybody. It's you had a nice feeling before, a fellow from Syria, and the reason why you can't get it again is because you want it again. And it's so common for people, somebody's smiling and laughing here in Perth, because they know what I'm talking about. You have sometimes people have got beginner's luck. Sometimes a monk called it a beginner's mind. You get nice deep meditation, so easy. And then you can't get it back again. Why? It's because you want it back again. And from Syria, this beautiful teaching of Ajahn Chah, you know, I'm waving at you in Syria, but he said this, this is represents a leaf on a tree. It only moves because of the wind. If the wind stops, then the leaf moves less and less until it becomes perfectly still. That is the nature of a leaf, to be still. It only moves because of something outside of it, the wind. My master Ajahn Chah said, that's like the human mind. Your nature is to be still. If you could only leave the mind alone, it'll become still all by itself. And that still, that peace, is incredibly joyful and blissful. It's ecstatic if you stay there long enough. But that silent mind, that still mind, can only be reached if the wind stops blowing. And what do I mean by the wind? What did Ajahn Chah mean by the wind? It's the winds of wanting. Wanting anything disturbs your mind. So many times, it's a very difficult one, but you know, you realize that In the meditation, you don't get peaceful because you want something. What do I want? I want that peace I had before. It's a subtle wanting, and you think, well, this is nothing wrong with that. Even wanting good things disturbs the mind, let alone wanting bad things. So in meditation, all wanting, all goals, all places you want to be in the future have to be abandoned. No wanting, just being here. Content to be here with whatever you have. And then you will find that this meditation, which was very peaceful in the past, now comes back to you. It all comes from when you don't want things, your mind moves less and less until it becomes perfectly still all by itself. If you want it to be still, no way. If you let go, it just happens, and you can feel it. So from Syria, what I said today, you are aware of how you're meditating. Not what you're meditating on, not what stage of meditation you're at, but what are you doing with what you've got? Are you content to be here? Are you really making peace? Are you really being kind? And are you patient enough to wait for the end of the eon to get a deep meditation? You're not making it have to happen now or today. So this is part of the course from Syria, but if you understand what I meant, or Ajahn Chah meant by the reason the leaf moves is because of the wind, got to take the wind away, the leaf will become still. The reason why your mind is still moving, why you haven't got back to that peaceful state, the wind of wanting is blowing in your mind. Understand what that wind of wanting is. Let it go, and you'll find the mind will settle down in all those beautiful states, and actually from Syria, even deeper, more beautiful ones, they'll just come to you. You're just sitting here, and it just happens. Or the other simile, I'm giving my favorite similes now. The other one is a favorite simile of the donkey and the carrot. Did I say that last week? Okay, donkey and the carrot simile. Donkey is so stubborn, you can hit the donkey and the donkey will not move. So instead of hitting a donkey with a stick, you tie the stick to the donkey's neck, so the front of the stick is about 2 foot in front of the donkey's head. On the head end of the stick, you tie a string. On the end of the string, you tie a carrot. And the donkey sees a carrot 2 foot in front of it. And what does the donkey do? I like carrots, so moves towards the carrot. And as the donkey moves, the carrot moves, the donkey moves faster, the carrot moves faster, and the carrot is always about 2 foot in front of the donkey. That's how people get donkeys to pull carts, because the donkey likes a carrot. And you can understand that in your life. Sometimes there's so many carrots in life, the beautiful relationship, the happiness, the meditation, whatever, you know, it's almost in front of you. You can almost see it, and you go towards it and it goes away from you. I can't catch it. You know, it's really close sometimes. So Buddhist donkeys know how to catch carrots. What they do, they run like hell after the carrot, really fast. And of course, it doesn't matter how fast you run after the carrot, the carrot's always 2 foot in front. But Buddhist donkeys, we know how to stop, to let go, to stop chasing things, just to let it be in the present moment. So donkey stops. What happens to the carrot? The carrot moves further away. But does that worry you at all? No, just let it be. It's okay. Who cares? And so the carrot moves further away until it's 4 foot in front of the donkey's mouth, and then something strange happens. The carrot starts swinging towards the donkey. And soon that carrot is 2 foot in front of the donkey's mouth, but this time coming at great speed towards the donkey. And all the donkey needs to do, when the carrot, remember, he's been running after the carrot, suddenly stops, the carrot swings up, swings back, goes so close to the donkey's mouth, the last thing the donkey has to remember is compassion. Carrot, the door of my mouth is open to you. And that's how the donkeys catch the carrot. So from Syria, that's how you get your next deep meditation. Stop. Stop chasing it. Stop running after peace, stillness, bliss. Stop. When you stop, the bliss, the happiness will go further away from you. Be patient, and soon it will start swinging towards you. When the deep blisses are about to happen, don't be afraid. Open the door of your heart to Nibbana. Thank you. That's one of the best similes I've invented. So hopefully you enjoyed that in Syria. So, any questions from here? Oh, isn't it? It's great, you know, from Syria. Thank you, thank you, thank you for inspiring people in Australia to know in that very tense country, you know, which has got a lot of problems, still people are using some meditation to get some peace. So if people can meditate in Syria, have you got an excuse not to meditate? I've got a noisy family. My kids are like terrorists. No, they are not. No, you can tolerate things here, for goodness sake. So are there any questions from the floor? Okay, I'm sure there'll be some questions afterwards when you line up. So we'll finish now. And thank you for coming. So now we can pay respects to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, and then we can do what we need to do.